Time to tee it up with the Hall of Famer, Bernie Federko. It's Pucks with Bernie and Panger right here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Our conversation about hockey and blues and really wherever it takes us, presented each week by Marie Davila Senior Living, Greenville University, Triad Bank, Fast Eddie's Bonaire, and Urban Chestnut Brewery. And we bring in Bernie Federko on this Christmas Eve. And Bernie, I looked it up just for you. It's currently 20 degrees in Foam Lake. I think we're looking at 60, Foam Lake, Saskatchewan, for those who don't know, who haven't been playing along. Would you rather it be cold or warm?
You know, I'm going to get a little mixture. I'd like you to be warm with snow.
Right.
But there's no such thing. But actually, 20 degrees in Foam Lake, that is a balmy, nice Christmas Eve for them. I mean, I can remember 40 below, 50 below on Christmas Eve a lot of times, just bundling up just to get across the street or something. But that's a nice Christmas for the folks in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, it's 12 overnight tonight, and I was looking at that, and I thought it's probably, by their standards, not that bad. So as a kid, and we've talked a lot about growing up in that town and in Canada, but were Christmases always white? I mean, is there a point where November, December, there's snow and it just doesn't leave for months?
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I don't ever recall having a year where we didn't have snow on Christmas. No, I mean, it usually the first snowfall is usually around around Halloween. So we've got all November and December, so there's plenty of snow piled up by the time Christmas came out. So we really never had to worry about not having a white Christmas.
Bernie, the Blues have won six in a row, and something that happened over the last week, not that it was a big deal, but they did give Jordan Binnington a little bit of rest. Craig Berube said it's not something he asked for. I just thought it was really smart. It wasn't a big stretch. It was just two games back-to-back for Jake Allen, and you get a guy like Binnington who has played a lot of hockey. Do you think part of this, I know in the NBA they say load management, but do you think it's Doug Armstrong, it's Craig Berube, and just looking at all the games when you include the Stanley Cup run, and they're trying to be smart about a guy like Binnington?
Yeah, there's no question about it, Martin. I mean, this is a goaltender that has really amazed most people. I mean, for where he came out of last year, you know, being in the minors for the entire time, and then here it is at 25 years old, he gets his first chance to really make an impact, and he was absolutely outstanding. And when you realize that he played, 82 games over the course of 2019 already, well, last night would have been in 83 now, so that's a lot of hockey. And I think for the most part, all the general managers in the league now, they really need to have two goaltenders. I think the workload that they want to have for a goaltender really normally is right around 50 games for the starting goaltender. The other guy would get 30, 32. So I think this was really a smart move. Give Jordan a little bit of time to just to get, it's not a physical thing. It's more of a mental thing than anything else. So he can get a little bit of rest, a little bit of reprieve. And with the way, especially with Jake's playing as well as he has been, I think this is a really, really smart move to give him a little bit of rest.
I think it's another example where Craig Berube is just going to do what he has to do. I think in the past you'd have coaches, and we talked a lot about different personalities the Blues have had on the bench, but sometimes the players say, oh, he's too tough, he's annoying, he's, you know, all over me. It's, you know, and then the others that they get run over, and it just seems like Berube, a lot has been said about it, of course, he's won the cup, but just has the right touch. Like, even if a player doesn't like it, he makes the call, and it's not too bad, so sad, but they respect the fact that he is in charge.
Yeah, it's communication, too. I mean, giving the reason for doing whatever you're going to do. I mean, I think that some coaches are really short to the point where the guy looks at you and like, what are you talking about? I mean, I think Craig's communication skills are really good. I mean, I'm sure that he sat Jordan down and said, hey, you need a little bit of rest. This is a little stretch that we can maybe give you a little time to be by yourself. I know Jordan doesn't want it. The chief said that as well, is that, hey, it wasn't his liking. He wants to play every game. But I think, to me, I even said it last night. I mean, I think it should be flattering for Jordan Binnington. Here's a kid that's only been in the league 1 year, and the coaches already want him to sit him out and give him a little extra rest because he's played so well. So and I think that Craig is really a big reason why the team has had such success.
And Jake Allen is a guy, historically with the Blues, seems to be better when he's pushed a little bit or there's somebody next to him. Binnington, different story than even when you go back and Brian Elliott, but you got a guy next to you who's playing at a high level. It just seems like sometimes when they handed Jake the reins, it wasn't always the perfect scenario, but right now he's playing as well as he's played in a long time, and I just wonder if he always kind of rises to the competition, even if it's within the room.
Yeah, friendly competition is always good. I mean, I think that hockey especially, you know, you've got four lines all the time. Everybody has got equal opportunity to really impress the coaches and get work for extra ice time. I think that's the coach's biggest thing, is that he controls the ice time that the players have. And if you play better and if you play really well, you might get rewarded with extra ice time. So Jake is no different. I mean, when you have a goaltender that's challenging you, you have to start playing better and you have to rise to the occasion. And obviously, Jordan came in and really took Jake's job last year, but it's really not set Jake back at all. He continues to compete, and I think that he's really turned himself into a really even a great backup goaltender, and I still think that there's maybe a chance that at some point in time he's still not an old man by any means as a goaltender. I mean, he may have a good chance to, if it's not going to be here, he may have a chance to be a number one somewhere else at some point in time.
Yeah, it's sort of crazy. He is the backup. He's fourth right now in the NHL in goals against. I mean, it's just remarkable what they've got going with the two, and it does seem, and Panger and I have talked about it, they seem to get along. You've been in a lot of locker rooms. There could be a little tension there, whether it's a captain who comes in and gets the C or a guy who kind of takes your spot on the power play. I think the way they both have handled it makes it work, because if there's tension there with those two, it could sort of disrupt the whole room.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the things that general managers really look for, is that if they've got a tandem of goaltenders, and if there is any animosity there, it's really not a really good thing for the hockey club. And I think Jake has really turned his role into not only saying that, hey, I'm maybe the backup now, but he has a lot of, you know, veteran leadership. He's had a lot of experience that he can actually pass on to Jordan Binnington. So the two of them have had a really good working relationship. They do get along. And I think the system is just great for both goaltenders. I mean, Chief's style of hockey is grinding. The goaltenders don't really get left out to dry very often, and the competition for them is good in practice more so than it is in a game. And I think it's been a really good relationship over the course of the last year.
What have you seen from Braden Schenn, Jaden Schwartz, a couple of guys who play together, but their numbers right now way ahead, in fact, surpassing some of their totals from last year. We're not even into January yet. What have you seen from those two versus a year ago?
You know, last year I think Martin was kind of a strange year for both Schwartz and for Schenn. I mean, for Schenn to only end up with 17 goals, and even worse for Schwartz to have 11. I think that was really almost a freak of nature, in my opinion. Both those guys are way too good to not be able to put up numbers that are better than that. But sometimes the puck just doesn't go in for you. Some things don't happen for you when you really need to happen. It's not that you're not working or anything, but I think that they now have really kind of been rewarded with having great run during the Stanley Cup. I think they came back with a lot more confidence. And I think the team, just the way the team structure is, the way that everybody just, it's all for one for all, that I think that really adds to everybody's statistics. So the puck's going in for both of them this year. I think that Schenn has been, the fact that he signed a new contract, I think that maybe took a lot of pressure off him, and I think he's playing with a lot more ease. And I think Jaden Schwartz is just finding his game again. I mean, he's the guy that is always one of those guys that's hustling all the time. He's a guy that's a hound on the puck, and now he's going to those dirty areas we talked about, where now he's battling, getting rebounds, getting some deflections by going to the front of the net. So I think they both refound their games that they maybe lost a little bit of last year, and the confidence is coming back, and consequently they're putting up more points.
We've seen Bozak up there for a minute or two, the Sasky line. I know Bernie's got to love that. We've seen Kyrou, we've seen Sundqvist. In your mind, and minus Tarasenko, you're probably going to experiment a lot with different players. Who do you think's, if you're making out the lineup, who do you think's a good fit on that top line?
Well, I'm really liking Kyrou right now because of the speed that he has. I mean, his acceleration is so great, and it seems that even more and more so now over the course of the last, even last night, I thought he looked more comfortable on that line. He made a really good play late in the game to Schenn, who, you know, just missed a real good opportunity. But I think that right now fits very, very well, and I think that they wanted to get Kyrou into the games and see what he could do. So, I mean, is Vladdy going to be back? If he comes back, it's going to be probably not till March. So maybe there's still going to be some more experimenting. But I think the speed that's on that line right now and the way the line is playing right now, I think I really like where Kyrou sits on that line.
You know, it's crazy to think, and I know St. Louis, soft media, nobody rips anybody anymore, but I don't know what you would critique with this team, and it's the amazing balance they have. Their record at home is the exact same as their record on the road. I don't know how that happens. 12, 4, and 3. And when you look at this team as a whole, so many players playing well. If you had to pick a first half MVP, is there somebody that you think stands out? There's a lot of great candidates. We've talked about it with All-Star games. But if you had to say right now, I think the player who has had the best overall season, who would that be?
I would go with David Perron. I mean, I think that David has probably been the most consistent player right from day one of the season. Here's a guy that is really kind of matured into a player that I think we all expected him to be when he first came. I mean, he was a really young kid when he came to San Luis the first time. I mean, this is his third kick at the can right now, but I think David's been absolutely outstanding. I mean, the way he's played with Ryan O'Reilly, he's been, a lot of times David was taking some, maybe what we would call selfish penalties in the past. He's not doing that at all right now, and I think he's become one of the leaders on this hockey club and has been very poised out there. But, I mean, if you're going to look at him, I think one player as a forward, and obviously I think you have to look at the goaltending. He's been absolutely outstanding. And I think that Alex Petrangelo has had a really, really good start to his year, too. He's put up some great numbers, and I think he's kind of almost changed his game a little bit. He's become much more offensive than I've ever seen him. He seems to be leading the rush a lot of times instead of being back there on the back end. So if you're going to mention that, those would be kind of the three or four guys that I would look at.
For a lot of teams, there is a bit of a hangover. You win the Stanley Cup, maybe literal, but also certainly figuratively. Do you think this team, because they did go from last to first and that whole narrative, do you think they're a little driven by the fact that maybe some think, not a lot because they know it's a good franchise, but some that think, well, that's a nice little story, a little bit fluky. Hey, they got on a run. That goalie came out of nowhere. Do you think that drives them a little bit to say, you know what, we're gonna shove it up everybody again this year?
You know, Martin, that's a really good question because I've kind of thought about many things. Why is this team so good this year? Why have they bounced back? And I think everybody's expecting that Stanley Cup hangover. But I don't know if it's the system. I don't know if it maybe is a little bit of the motivation that the guys have because of the way their season was last year. They're going from last to first. But whatever it is, I mean, it's so impressive. I mean, they're like a machine. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine. If they need a big save at the right time, they get it. If they need a goal, it doesn't matter even who's the goal going to come from. It could be one of any of the 18 players that are dressed. So it's been a lot of fun to watch. Is there going to be a little hangover yet? Maybe there's going to be a little slump. I don't know, but it seems that Craig Berube seems to always have his finger on the right things. Whatever he mixes and matches, however he changes the lines, it seems that there's always a spark there that's provided for something good to happen. So it's been a wonderful, first half of the season right now, and I hope that they continue to believe that last year was not a fluke and that they can repeat and show everybody in the world that they can win a Stanley Cup in back-to-back years.
Yeah, I think almost historic. Some of the numbers, the NHL was putting it out there in terms of calendar year. The Blues are at 70 or 71 wins calendar year. That's right up there with some of the most wins any franchise has had. And what I've always noticed, and certainly you win a cup, you're going to have confidence, but even when they lost 3 in a row, they came home, they hadn't played real well, and we did something on the TV side with Robert Thomas, and he said, yeah, well, we're pretty close, we'll be fine. They just kind of know what their game is. And so they've been streaky. They always win a bunch in a row, they'll lose a couple in a row. It's rarely win one, lose one, but they seem to always know we'll be fine. And that maybe helped them even earlier in the year in those shootouts. They never seemed to, or overtime. I guess that's sort of obvious, isn't it? I went from a good question to a bad one because they just seem to have this confidence that even losing a bunch in a row, no problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there is no panic on this team. I mean, they know what their game is all about. And that's the really funny part about it is that no matter when you listen to any of the interviews from any of the players, I think if they all have the same answer, oh, yeah, well, we didn't do this right, or, you know, maybe we're a little slow on this. But, I mean, everybody's on the same page, and I think that's why they know what their jobs are. I think everybody individually even knows exactly what their job is out there to do, whether if you're going to be a checker, if you're a scorer, or whatever you have to do. And I think everybody is in tune to what they're supposed to do. And when they go out there, they actually do their job, and they create the opportunities for each other, or they make sure that it's the team first. And I think that's what's been so much fun to watch. And there is no panic, and I really don't believe that there will be panic, no matter if they lose 3 or 4 in a row or whatever. They know that when it's all said and done, that they'll right the ship and they'll be ready to go in the playoffs. Are there
Pucks with Bernie and Panger right here on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Make sure you subscribe, Google, iTunes, Apple, wherever you get your subscriptions for podcasts. Make sure it's set up. That way it's downloaded each and every week. I want to talk to the Hall of Famer about a famous night in blues hockey when we come back. Great to have Urban Chestnut on board. You know about their great beer and the great beer garden hanging out in the Grove. They've expanded. There's just been the explosion of craft beers. But boy, it goes way beyond that with Urban Chestnut. They have become part of the St. Louis scene. I love that Urban Underdog. If you haven't had it, it's a great American lager. A lot of beer snobs out there. I get it. My wife is a perfect example. Not a huge beer fan. I rolled out a little Urban Underdog. She absolutely loved it. So whatever your palate is, they've got a taste for you. You know about the Panger Award presented by the good folks at Urban Chestnut every single week. Huge hockey fans. And really, you can find their product now all around town, whether you're at the Schnucks Grocery Store, or if you're at the sporting event, blues game. How about at the zoo? That's right. I had the Grizzly Ridge Kolch the other day. They have expanded. It's not just the great product, it's the great people behind it. It's more than just this beer that you're enjoying. They're part of the movement in St. Louis, getting things done and changing the whole area there, the Grove. And if you talk about the connection with the MLS, I think we had the big celebration with the MLS for the Lou. That was at Urban Chestnut in the Grove location. You can find them all around town. I started with the Wingnut, still love that, moved into the Zwickle. Currently just hooked on Urban Underdog. Check them out. Neighborhood grocery store, liquor store, guaranteed all around town. It's Urban Chestnut, part of the St. Louis sports community.
Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living. Independent living at the Villa Estate. Skilled nursing, memory care. They have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident at Marie Davila, you are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandings for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour.
Here's the owner of the world-famous Fast Eddie's Bonaire, Eddie Scholler, and Hall of Fame hockey legend Brett Hull.
Eddie, I was just telling some friends about Fast Eddie's Bonaire, and I just didn't have the words to describe it.
Well, Brett, I've had that same problem for years. The words I use are, you know, it's a lot of fun, it's huge, it's an adventure.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. This place is more than a bar. I mean, the coldest beer, the best live entertainment, everyone knows about the great food, but Fast Eddie's is far more than that.
I'll tell you what, it's kind of like, I don't know anybody that's been to heaven, but I'll bet you that's hard to describe too.
Well, I sure hope I get to heaven,
telling
I can
me.
Tell you that.
You're telling me.
Fast Eddie's experience is tough to describe, and all I know is it is fun.
Man, I'll tell you what, we've been here 35 years, and it explains itself. I don't know if it's as good as heaven, but it might be heaven on earth.
Well, I would write it down in your notes on your phone, because once you get home, the experience is going to be hard to remember. I've been all over the world, and there's only one Fast Eddie's Bonaire. So if you're 21, head over to Clark Bridge to Fast Eddie's Bonaire in Alton.
All right, you just heard the commercial. That's Fast Eddie hanging with Brett Hull. That's a party I need to be invited to. And joining us on the line, the one and only Fast Eddie from Fast Eddie's Bonaire in Alton, where they're always serving up a lot of fun, great food. You got to tell us, hanging with Brett Hull, you got an idea what that might be like. What was it actually like in person?
I'd say imagine it and then multiply it, because it's real. That's him. That's who it is. And it's that much fun, man.
You're a guy who likes to have fun. But like Brett Hull takes it to another level.
I party for a living, and I teach people how to party. and that guy can come right along with me any day. He keep up with the best of them.
I party for a living, and I teach people how to party. That's it, man. You know what I've said about Fast Eddie's? It's a mood-changing experience. I've never been in there and looked around and seen anybody in a bad mood. You might see them walking in with a frown, but boy, once they say, and there's always groups of people. They could be mad at their boss or their dog, and all of a sudden they go into Fast Eddie's, and they just, nobody's having a bad time.
Yeah, you definitely forget about your troubles. There's no windows for a reason, man. You leave the world up behind you when you walk in, and it's definitely a coming in a bad mood. You leave out there 12 hours later, you've been laughing all 12 of them.
And I know you love baseball, and you're hanging with Mike Shannon, you're down at Cardinal games, but I think I've sensed this, and I've seen you down there in recent years, certainly with the Cup run, it's been fun, but you've kind of gravitated towards hockey, and there was a night they were fighting back. I was at the TV job, and we were texting, and you said, "Man, I like this team because this team's got some. They've got a little bit of balls, and they'll push back."
I love the way they take care of each other too. It's fun to watch, man. They're really on it. It's just a work team. They got a lot of spirit in the team attitude. Dude, these guys are good, man. They're really good.
And it's fun for the city, you know. I mean, I grew up here. Absolutely. You grew up here. Everybody's got like three Cardinal shirts in their closet, maybe more.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, you go to the store, you go to Fast Eddie's, everybody's wearing Blues gear.
It's amazing, man. I tell you, you go places where you would have always seen 10-1, and now it's 10-3. You know, when you count the whatever the ratio is, and the Blues people are popping up, man. It's coming out. They're getting into it more and more. New people are watching it. It's cool, you know. It took some winning to do it, but that's what gets them there.
Everybody loves a winner. Here's what people ask me. They say, what are you going to eat when you go to Fast Eddie's? I'm like, I'm going to probably work my way through the menu if I hang for a couple hours. But they go, what about Eddie? If you're there all the time, what do you order? Do you have a go-to?
I still have go-to. I order the bratwurst, and then I order the Big Elwood and fries. You got to have our fries. But you have the bratwurst and the Big Elwood are original to the place. You can't get them anywhere else. And you can't go wrong, I promise.
And the doors open at 1 o'clock Monday through Thursday, 11 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They've got live music going every single day. I've been there on the weekends where there's live music in back. There's live music on the patio. Party never stops at Fast Eddie's.
Pretty cool.
We'll talk to you soon, my man.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot.
Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64. Get to Lindbergh and you are there. Founded in 2005, a wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter. People there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand? Talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit, 5-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out, triadbanking.com.
Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community. A great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution.
We win Blues!
The great Brett Hull bringing us back as always. And normally we do like a former teammate, a friend of Bernie. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Monday Night Miracle because for so many years, that was the signature, you know, moment for the franchise, even though it didn't lead to, you know, winning that particular series. But when I talk about that night, the Old Barn, in fact, I was there. Nobody believes me, but I was a senior in high school and my friends all wanted to leave. And I said, we can't, we got to stay. And it doesn't make me right or wrong. I just wanted to see it to the end, and it was one of the greatest games I've ever been to. When you think back, and I'm sure you've watched it, or some of the moments over the years, what comes to mind?
Well, just the electricity in the building. I mean, I've never seen anything like that with the crowd. I mean, it was a night that, we thought at some point in time in the middle of the third period that it was probably the end of our season, but I think we kind of had that attitude, with Bark behind the bench, and Bark was sick at the time, and it was Jacques Demers, who was just a great motivator, that, hey, we're going to play till the end, and we never know what's going to happen. And really, when, you know, Brian Sutter had been out and hurt, he'd been in and out of the lineup, and he got his first goal of the playoffs there. I mean, we're all talking, 18th game of the playoffs already, and he scored, and then all of a sudden, Pazer scored the goal, and then when we tied it, Martin, it was like that. I thought the roof was going to come off on that building. So it's one of the great moments as a player. I mean, I went through a lot of different things, a lot of different emotions, but I think the emotions of that night and then especially winning in an overtime when Wick scored that goal, it was probably one of the most electrical nights that I've ever been in a building anywhere in the game of hockey.
And then you guys don't win the game 7. Is it just hockey? Hey, they beat us in game 7, or was there any sort of emotional roller coaster from what happened in that game 6, trying to match that and sort of do it again in game 7?
Well, we almost did that. I mean, we were down 2-0 late in that game. We scored a goal, and what, with a minute and a half left, we were able to pull our goalie. We had a chance to at least tie it. So, but no, I mean, I think we all understood that. I mean, everybody had spent so much. I mean, both teams. I mean, Calgary, I think, was as tired as we were. I mean, I think that game seven was so much different. I think it was one of the games that everybody, because of the emotions of what had happened in game six, that I think everybody was kind of almost like mentally beat. Physically, everybody, the game was kind of a hum-ho defensive battle because no one really wanted to try to get to the emotional level that they had been when a couple of nights earlier. So it was disappointing, but hey, we had done all we could, and you know, our outlook of the game after we lost was that we certainly gave it all we could, and Calgary was just a better team than us, and it kind of just ended that way. And I think we were hoping that Calgary would win the cup that year, just to show that hey, that we were there with the best. But you know, I think Montreal got the best of Calgary because I think Calgary was mentally and physically spent because of the way they played against us through that series.
Yeah, I was just flipping through the rosters. It's first of all, I'm sure a lot of Blues fans do it. It's just fun to see some of these names pop up, and I saw Greg Pasulowski, and I just had a blink back to Monday Night Miracle. I thought it'd be fun to talk about it with Bernie Federico. Merry Christmas to your family, Bernie. I'm assuming at this point the gifts have all been purchased at this point.
Martin, they're all done. We're all sitting here. It's going to be another wonderful Christmas Eve here. The boys will be over, and we have some friends coming over and this and that. So we always look forward. I mean, this is always a great time, and for all the hockey players, it's a great time. We only used to get a couple days off. The guys get 3 days off now, and I know they're going to really, really enjoy their time with their families. And you know, we want to wish everybody out there in Blues Land a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday.
Bernie, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great Christmas.
Thanks, Martin. You too. Have a Merry Christmas.